train to accept responsibility. How many know that's true? Why is it when we become adults we don't want to be responsible for anything anymore? You see, things like, you know, feeding yourself, clothing yourself, bathing yourself. I think you get the idea, right? Right? How many of you dressed yourself to come to church tonight? Thank you very much. We appreciate it. How many of you had somebody else dress you? Now, ladies, I'm not talking about color coordination. I'm talking about... Some of you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Are you really going to wear that? Well, while I'm having a little fun with this, please understand that if you're an adult and you have yet to learn to accept responsibility for dressing yourself, there's probably something wrong with you. Could be physically. It could certainly be something that is related to memory. Maybe people with dementia and other things forget exactly how to go through that process. They may have lost use of their motor skills. It may be some disease or some sickness that's affecting their ability to be responsible in certain areas. That's not what I'm talking about. In Ephesians chapter 6, the scripture tells us to put it on, the whole armor of God. The reason we get dressed is so we can stand against. That's the next part of that scripture. Stand against. You know what the literal interpretation of stand against is? It means I push back on what's been pushing on me. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. There's some of you under the sound of my voice been dealing with all kinds of circumstances and things going on in your life, and you feel overcome and overwhelmed with what's going on around you. It's time for you to bow your back, put your strength together, and push back on what's been pushing on you. You'll find out when you begin to push back on what's been pushing on you, it will begin to move back and it will not resist you because you're accepting responsibility to take control over that situation. Now, you may not be able to do it in your own mind and own strength, but how many know you can do all things through Christ that gives you strength? Yes?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I really, when we put on the whole armor of God, it's to not only push back, but it's also to come against the wiles and the trickery and the deceit and the craftiness of the enemy. And here, I want to say this before I go any farther. Everybody listen real closely. If you forget everything else I said tonight, I want you to catch this. Our enemy is not people. Thank you very much. Our enemy is not people, particularly people who don't agree with us. We live in a world today where people think, I've got to convince you to feel like I feel or think like I feel, or there's a schism or a breakup in the relationship. How many ever had somebody that you really loved and you didn't agree with them? Do you still love them? What is this deal that says we you know, if you don't believe, like, and then, oh, excuse me, I'm going to get on my hobby horse for just a minute. Get on Facebook and tell the world how stupid and how dumb this response is. That's not where you teach yourself to be a Christian. After you put that thing up there, you go back to church and everybody wants to know, you're really a great Christian, aren't you, brother? I saw your post on Facebook.
That's right.
Guilty as charged. So we need to accept responsibility for our actions, for our words. And it's not even about flesh and blood. You know, our enemy comes against us, its principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And please, we need to grow so we can go do what we were put here to do. I think it's time that we get to that place. So my question today is this, and I'm just about to where I want to be. Are you growing in your walk of faith? You see, all living things grow. And they grow for their entire life. And can I just be honest? I've pastored long enough. I can say this with some reliability. I've had people tell me, I know about leadership. I don't need any more leadership. I don't need more training. I've done that. I know about it. I've studied this. I've studied that. You never, ever, no matter who you are, know it all. I don't care how long you've been around. I don't care how many doctorate degrees you have behind your name. It doesn't matter at all. You never know it all. So I want to talk to everyone on two different levels this evening for just a few moments. First, those people that are people of faith, no matter where you are in your walk of faith. All right? That's number one. Number two, I'd like to talk to those people who've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior in their life. So let me talk to the people of faith first. No matter where you are in your walk, it is very possible that you're lukewarm tonight. The scripture says, and if you're lukewarm, he'll spew you out of his mouth. The literal interpretation is, he'll spit you out. I don't know about you, but it's even more intense than that. Are you ready for this? It literally means he'll vomit you out profusely, expel you from the body. Now, I know that sounds a little crass, but here's the situation that we need to be aware of. Your personal growth can and will make all the difference in your life, in everything that you do. So the question here is, do you have a plan for spiritual growth? It's going to be quiet in this church tonight. Do you have a plan for spiritual growth? See, the truth of the matter is, we talk about it, but most of us don't have a plan. So if you don't plan to succeed, you actually plan to fail. Can you take just a little bit more? It doesn't matter. I'm going to say it anyway. If you do not have a plan to succeed, you plan to fail. And this is the thing I want you to catch hold of. All sustainable growth takes place outside of your comfort zone. You see, we're so enamored with being comfortable and everything being easy and just getting along and everybody being happy. We're so enamored with that that we don't want anything that makes us uncomfortable. Now, I know over the years I've said things when I was preaching that made my wife very uncomfortable. She said things that have made me uncomfortable. But I didn't stop loving her. And I didn't stop trying to grow and develop that relationship. Has God ever told you something that you needed to do, but it made you uncomfortable, and so because you were uncomfortable thinking about it, you never acted on it? I lost all my amens from last night. Physical growth is a natural process. God's handiwork. It's his plan. It's the way he designed us. But spiritual growth is not. It doesn't just happen on its own. I hear people talking about, we need to be goal-oriented. You need a goal for your life. And please, I don't believe they fully understand what they're saying. I believe they confuse goal with growth. You can have a goal, but if that goal doesn't move you toward growth, it's not a legitimate goal. In fact, if you have growth mindset, you will fulfill the goal because the goal will cause you to grow. A goal will not only help you grow, it'll help you focus on that growth, okay? So here's the word. So whether you like it or not, my name is Dan. And I'm your friend, all right? We have to be responsible for ourselves. Some of us want to be, excuse me now, I'm going to get real personal with some of you. Some of us want to be responsible for everybody else but ourselves. We want to give them advice. We want to tell them what to do, how to act, how to react, what to do in this situation. And then when it comes to us, but I'm not listening to nobody. Okay, now you want to be responsible for yourself and just yourself. But before, you want to be responsible for everybody else. How many know you've got a big enough job just being responsible for you? Sometimes I don't even like being responsible for me. I'd like for her to be responsible for me. Now, I'm adding a little levity so I understand what I'm saying. May be strong. I believe tonight, in the next few moments, we all need to learn to accept responsibility. So I want you to say it. You don't have to say it loud. You don't have to say it with strength. But I want you to practice it so you can hear yourself saying it, not me. Are you ready? I got two people going. Say it one time. I'm responsible. Oh, man, that was good. Say that one more time. Is this being recorded? I'd like to record that because I want to take it with me. Yeah. Say it one more time.
I'm responsible.
Mm-hmm. See, when your brain connects with you saying those words, while they may just be words now, there's something activated in the subconscious arena of the brain that says, I am responsible. And the more you say it and the more you rehearse it, the more reality comes into view. So let me just say it this way. I believe tonight we're going to move out of the place of self-imposed confinement, that box with limitations and restrictions around it, those limiting beliefs and those self-sabotaging beliefs that you have about yourself and others. When you become responsible, you stop looking at all the negative and you start trying to find the positive in what God's doing in your life. One more strong statement. My name is Dan and I'm your friend. Real growth starts with a thought, followed by preparation, but then it's fleshed out by action. Did you catch it? Let me say it one more time. Real growth starts with a thought, followed by preparation, fleshed out by the actions you take. It all begins by being responsible. It begins by saying, I'm responsible. Everything you've learned has been learned in one of two ways. Okay? Number one is by comparison. You've learned by comparison. And most of us learn. That's an easy way for us to learn. We learn, as an example, car. If I don't put gas in the car, it's not going to run, right? If I don't put food in my body and drink liquids, then my body's not going to function the way that God designed it. We learn by comparison. I watched you not do it, and you got sick, and if I keep on doing it, I'm going to be well. Or we learn by contrast. Comparison, contrast. Now, the term contrast simply implies that we have done some things and had to do some things over and over. How many of you had to do something more than once before you learned the lesson? How many of you had to do it more than 10 times before you ever figured it out? How many of you are still trying to figure it out? You see, contrast simply means I made a mistake, I made an error, but I'm going to learn from that so I don't make the same mistake again. In fact, I learn what not to do as much as I learn what to do. When I was a kid growing up, we had in our home, we had, and I'm going to date myself, but that's all right, we had a wood-burning cook stove. Anybody been around long enough, you know what I'm talking about? Thank you. And then we had an open flame space heater. And they would tell us, don't touch the stove. Now, you would never believe this. But I had to find out. And some of you are the same way. I found out that I was responsible for burning myself. See, the thing of learning from contrast is it helps us apply the information we had in a correct way. So let me give you the definition of responsible. Responsibility means an obligation, a duty, that a cause agent or source of change, the ability to distinguish between right and wrong, and then think and act in a rational manner. Isn't it amazing in our world today that we have entire generations of people who do not know how to think and act in a rational manner? And the problem is, it's found its way into the church. My name is Dan. How responsible are you? How responsible are you? And are you willing to be and take control of your own life and your walk with the Lord? You know, we want, and please, I pastor long enough, I can say this. I wanted more for the people than they wanted for themselves. I could see more for them than they could see for themselves. And so once in a while, I caught myself pushing them, and I found out I was responsible, but they weren't. So their growth was stymied and stopped, no matter how much I wanted for them. Abraham Maslow, in his Hierarchy of Human Needs, states that the number one need of humanity is that they must feel safe and be safe. But to be safe, one has to learn to take responsibility for their own safety. Yes? Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but I said a mouthful right there. Last night I talked for a few minutes about the fact that I became responsible when I was 14 years of age when my father committed suicide. I became the man of the house. Yeah? And so I became responsible at 14. Some people are 44 and they're still not responsible. Just a thought. Not trying to make no trouble. Rudolph Giuliani, the mayor of New York at the time of the 9/11 attack, when he was interviewed by the media after the 9/11 attack, he was asked, "Mayor Giuliani, what was on your mind that morning? What were you thinking after the attack?" And he said these words to the press, "I only had two words on my mind that morning. And it was actually on a nameplate sitting on the credenza behind his desk. And on that nameplate behind his desk, it had these words, I'm responsible." No, he wasn't responsible for the attack. No, he wasn't responsible in the collapse of the building. No, he wasn't responsible for the loss of life. No, he wasn't responsible for what took place. But he was responsible for the next step and the righteous action that was to follow that. You can be right and still not be righteous. Given the choice of being right or being righteous, can you be righteous? I only had two things on my mind. I'm responsible. See, the most successful people in life understand the concept. He was not responsible for the attack or what happened, but he felt responsible to do the right thing. People have the attitude in our world today, it's not my fault. I didn't do that. It really doesn't matter anyhow. No big deal. There's so much apathy, indifference, and complacency in our world, and it's leaked over into our churches. That we have an entire culture that is dismissive of anything that pertains to God. If there is anything positive going to take place in my life, I have to be responsible. If there's anything positive going to take place in your life, you have to accept responsibility for you. It's not my wife's job to make me responsible, though she tries to help me on occasion. She's given me an amen first time in 10 years. I'm playing with her, you all know that. But if it is to be, it's up to me. You've heard the cliche. See, we have to become responsible. When you begin to think about eternity, and you begin to think about your life, you begin to think about the future. I'm in the latter years of my life. I told you last night I want to be able to finish strong. But when I begin to think about that, I don't have time to play games with anybody. I don't have time to placate. I don't have time to ignore. I only have time to be responsible. Responsible for me and responsible to the people that God has given me oversight of. Responsible to the people that I speak into their lives and I teach and I train and develop. I have to be responsible. And I don't always like it. Excuse me. He didn't tell me I had to like it.
Amen.
He just told me to be responsible. Responsibility begins with me. So many absentee parents, absentee fathers, absentee mothers. I can think of several people right now where grandparents are raising the children. Priests. I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I'm not finding fault with him. But grandparents are raising because the parents have children, but they're not able to take care of them. And the child is actually better off with grandparents than with a mother or with a father that are doing other things that they shouldn't be doing because they're not. Mm-hmm. When I begin to think about eternity and my life and my future, I have to become responsible. Would you say it one more time? I'm responsible. You see, when Jesus was thinking and praying in the garden, when he prayed in the garden, I believe he was thinking about us. I really do. Because he said this prayer, Father, not my will, but yours be done. If you can, move this burden, this situation, this responsibility off of me. But he said, nevertheless, not what I want, what you want. And Jesus was literally saying, I'll be responsible for those people. I'll pay the price. I'll give the sacrifice. I'll be responsible. Yeah, I know they're going to mess up. Yeah, I know that they're going to be irresponsible. Yes, I know that they'll be confused and mixed up and there'll be all kinds of things, but I still believe they're worth it. Amen. And I'll accept responsibility to become the sacrifice for their salvation. When I was in corporate America, many years ago, I was bivocational for many years, in case I didn't mention that last night. But my first paycheck, when it came in, they overpaid me $15. Not a lot of money, really. But because of my integrity, and because of who I am, and because I was raised that it didn't belong to me, it wasn't mine to keep. So I went to the paymaster, and the person who took care of that, and I said, excuse me, you overpaid me $15. And he looked at me and said, I'll just keep it. And I said, I can't keep it. It's not mine. That's not what we agreed on. He said, nobody will know about it. I said, I'll know about it. It's not my money. I didn't earn it. That's not what we agreed on. And he says, are you for real? I said, I think so. He said, well, I don't understand. And I said, let me say it this way. I was raised to be responsible. And it would be irresponsible of me to accept $15 that we didn't agree on. No matter how it came to me. And he smiled real big and he said, I have a confession for you. I said, okay. He said, we overpay everybody $15 on their first paycheck to find out who will be responsible enough to let us know about it. What would have happened if I took the $15, said thank you very much, and just went on my way? See, I believe responsibility doesn't just end in one place. I believe I'm responsible and you're responsible for all of our lives. I was a senior VP for a $30 billion organization. And when one of my team members were mess up or they make an error, and I had hundreds of people working for me at the time, and yes, they kept messing up and making errors and making mistakes. My boss didn't go to them and say, what did you do and why did you do it? He came to me and said, why did they do that? And what are you going to do to fix it? The buck stopped here. Can I say it so you catch it tonight? The buck stops with you when it comes to your responsibility. You have to be responsible. I read a story several years ago, and to me it was quite humorous. It may not be to you. But back in the heyday of IBM, does everybody know who IBM is? Yeah. They came out with the personal computers, and they were doing a lot of things. And so they launched us into the computer age in many, many ways when it came to personal computers. And so they had an employee that cost them $1 million. $1 million. This was back in the 70s. And so the president of IBM's being interviewed by the newspaper, and he said, well, they asked him, said, well, did you fire the guy? And he laughed and he said, fire him? Why would I want to fire him? I just invested $1 million in his education. Now that's responsibility at the height, right? Our attitude should always be, I'm responsible. How can I make it better? When you're responsible, let me say it this way. When you're not responsible, you want to follow a rule or a guideline or a system or whatever. But when you're responsible, you look at everything as an opportunity to make things better. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you're responsible, you're not looking for the problem. You're looking for the solution. When you're irresponsible, you play the blame game. You do some what we refer to as blame shifting. But when you're responsible, you say, I'll take care of that. No problem. I'll be responsible. All right, I want to give you a disclaimer. My name is Dan. Here's the disclaimer. When you develop this concept, this thought, this attitude that you're responsible, you can take it to an extreme. And many people do. And what they do is they create a codependent caretaker mentality and situation, and they think it's their job to take care of everybody else on the planet and be responsible for them. It's not your job. You're responsible for you. Most people don't like the concept. In fact, the majority of people I know don't want to be responsible. They would rather say, it's not my job. Or, I don't really care. It's not important anyway, attitude. Or maybe they'll say, I'll wait and do that later. Have you ever said, well, I'll get around to it. Well, there's always tomorrow. How many of you gentlemen have ever succumbed to a honey-do list? You're not going to admit it because she's sitting beside you. I get it. I understand. You know, I may put it off. I may procrastinate. I may not get around to it as quickly as she would like. But eventually, I have to take responsibility and do it. You know, if I don't do it, what she's going to do? Come on. Do you know what she's going to do? Yes, she's going to hire somebody to do it. And so it's going to cost me either way. Why don't I just accept responsibility to do what I can do? Now, please, she is no different than these other ladies in this room. No different. Okay, let me just work on a couple more things, and then I'll wrap up. How many of you remember the story in the Old Testament of the people moving into the Promised Land? And so they sent out 12 spies into the Promised Land to spy out the land. Y'all remember that? And they came back. There were 12 of them from the 12 tribes. Can you tell me the names of the 10 who came back with a negative report? You know why you can't tell me the name? Because they were not responsible. You know, the two names that were responsible came up, Joshua and Caleb. Everybody knows their name because they came back and said, yeah, there may be giants over there, but it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And we don't know about anybody else. We just know that we need to go up at once and possess it. We want to be responsible for what God has already told us. See, if we could just become responsible for what God has already said and already promised us, there's so much out there waiting on us to step into it that we wouldn't be in the place we're in right now. In the scripture, it talks about the parable of the talents, right? It talks about, you know, the talents. And, you know, the one went and buried his, and when the master came back, he took it away from him. Responsibility. How about the seed that's sown? Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Again, it's about responsibility. The just judge, it's about responsibility. Ananias and Sapphira, man, that's about responsibility because they lied. Here's one statement I want to leave with you. One rule that you need to know. The one who understands the information is responsible for using it. Let me say it again. The one who understands the information is responsible for using it. It's, you know, if I understand the information and Pastor Larry doesn't or my wife doesn't, they're not responsible for it. I am. My name is Dan and I just vaccinated you with responsibility. You're responsible for using what you're hearing tonight. This message is not for someone that's not here. I always loved hearing it. Man, I wish so-and-so had been there. Man, that would have really done them some good. I understand you think that they'd get a lot of help out of it if they heard it. But why don't you take responsibility and you go tell them about it? I'm waiting for an amen somewhere in the room. One of my mentors and friends, Dr. Robert Rome, who has multiple doctorate degrees, taught a high school psychology class several years ago. There were 24 students in his class, and he created a group project. And he said, we can't start the group project until everyone is involved. And so what he told them to do was that starting the next day, everyone should bring one hard-boiled egg to class. That's all they had to do. That was the project. That's how it was going to begin. How many of you think you could probably be responsible to take one hard-boiled egg to class, even when you were 15 years old? Not today. So, first day came, and not everybody brought one. Second day, not everybody brought one. Third day, not everybody brought one. Fourth day, not everybody brought one. On the fifth day, one young lady came to school with 24 hard-boiled eggs to take care of the class. She wanted to be responsible for everybody else. And Dr. Rome says, sorry, can't do that. I appreciate your initiative, and I appreciate the fact that you want to help in that way, but I said everyone would be responsible for one hard-boiled egg. So he wouldn't let her leave the eggs. It took 10 full classroom days before everybody showed up with their hard-boiled egg. Dr. Rome says, applause, applause, thank you. You all have finally arrived. You've all accepted responsibility. So now, here's the process. I want you to take that hard-boiled egg home with you. I want you to take it for a walk. I want you to loan it to a friend. I want you to take good care of that egg. And in 2 weeks, we're going to write a report what you learned in taking care of the egg. Weeks later, as they wrote the report, one girl said, I can't believe how long it took for all of us to get our egg to school. Because not everyone wanted to accept responsibility. Another one said, I loaned my egg to a friend. She dropped it and broke it, and we're not friends anymore. Another one said, if it's this difficult for me to keep up with an egg for 2 weeks, how difficult would it be to keep up with a baby? Let me just say this to you tonight. Don't go away sad. Don't leave here this evening sad like the rich young ruler, because you will not accept responsibility. Accept responsibility for you. I'm responsible, and I'm responsible for me. Now, because God has given me oversight and given me a voice to other people, I'm responsible for things that I say to you. I'm responsible for the way that I act towards you. I'm responsible for the way that I minister to you. I'll give account for what I'm saying tonight. That's why I keep saying, my name is Dan and I'm your friend. Don't go away sad. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, I used that as a springboard when I began. Paul's given us a strategy to win. And a strategy for being responsible. There are 5 bullet points. I'm going to run through these real quick and I'm going to wrap up. Sister Marilyn's over there and I'm going to be done in about 5 minutes here. Okay? Beginning in chapter 6, beginning at verse number 11, the scripture said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. If you're going to be responsible, it's like a cloak or a coat. You have to put it on. Okay? It's not going to jump on you. It's thing attached. My bad. Let me rewire. Sometimes I get beside myself. Hang on to that part.
I'll be responsible.
I hope you heard that. My wife, and I hope I have witnesses, said that she would be responsible. Are you, what do you want now?
No, I'm being responsible.
Oh, you're okay. You're being okay. Thank you. You have to put on the coat. So if you're waiting for somebody else to put it on you, it's not going to happen. What they will put on you is attitude, insecurities, your failures, your shortcomings. They're going to put things on you that you don't need or don't want. Pastor Larry, come here and help me out real quick. So sometimes you need some help putting it on. Okay? So let me just help you into this, all right? All right?
Can I keep it?
I said just put it on. I didn't say keep it.
I understand.
Okay. So that fits pretty well, right? How many thinks he looks nice in it? Thank you. I'd like to keep the coat, though, you know. But sometimes we put things on that really don't fit us at the moment. Can I help somebody right here, right now? You may put it on, it may not fit right now, but you can grow into it.
Amen.
You can develop to the place that it now fits and it fits well. Come here, my dear. Does it fit?
No.
Does it look nice?
No.
I didn't say did she not look nice. I just okay. So how many understand I can make this fit? Some of you are skeptical. You can make it fit. Watch. I don't know what's wrong with her, but the coat looks really nice, right? See, we have to put it on. We have to put it on. We have to accept responsibility to put it on and be responsible for putting it on. And once we put it on, keep it on. If you don't own it, you'll find the easy exit ramp to get rid of it and take it off. So, number one, put it on. All right? That's in verse number 11. Verse number 12 says, but we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. The second thing I want to tell you is we know who our opposition is. Our opposition is powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You know what? They come to church with you. And they distract you and they deter you and they dissuade you and they talk to you the entire time the preacher's talking. That message is not for you. That's for so-and-so. Or the other side is, I'm going to step on this side. See, somebody told the preacher about you. My name is Dan, and I'm your friend. The third thing takes place in verse number 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. The third thing I like to say is we have all the resources we ever need to be responsible. I wish somebody would say amen right there. We have everything that we need to be successful and to accomplish everything that God's assigned us to do, because once we make the decision to move into the place that God has assigned us, everything that we need to be successful in that place is already there waiting on us, and God's waiting to see whether or not we'll step into it.
Amen.
He's already set you up for success. He didn't set you up for failure. He set you up for success. And then the fourth part, we have all the resources we need. The fourth part starts with verse number 14, 15, and 16. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The fourth thing I want to tell you is that we have a plan on how to use everything that God has given us. I've heard people talk about this for many, many years and teach on it and talk about the defensive weapons of our spiritual warfare. I do not believe they're defensive weapons. I believe they're offensive weapons. Look where all the weapons are. They're in the front portion of that body that he's talking about. You don't hear anything about the backside being covered, only the front side. I've given my angels charge concerning you, that they will go before you and prepare the way. There's no retreat. There's no backup. We're not quitting. We're not slowing down. We're going to be responsible to advance the kingdom of God in this region of the earth. And part of that responsibility says, I'll be responsible for my part. I can't be responsible for Pastor Larry or can't be responsible for Sister Marilyn, but I can sure be responsible for me. And then the final part, part number 5, is found in verses 15 through 20. And that deals with our communication. I love the 20th verse, which it says, for which I am ambassadors in chain, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There needs to be detailed communication coming out of us to be responsible. You know, being responsible is doing what I say and saying what I'm doing. I hope you heard what I said. I can't say one thing and do something else because then I'm irresponsible. So let me give you a process. Your thoughts become words and your words become actions. Here's the question I want to ask you. You've already said that you don't have a spiritual growth plan. Everybody needs one. Everybody needs a spiritual growth plan. So my question is, what are you saying to yourself right now that you would never allow anyone else to say to you? What's the voice inside your head saying to you in this moment that you wouldn't let anybody else say that to you no matter what? When you accept responsibility, you silence that voice by saying, the Bible says I need to be responsible and I accept responsibility for me tonight. Here's a pretext. Everybody ready? In James, the Bible said it this way. Submit yourself to the Lord. Resist the devil or push back against him and he'll flee. I got 3 amens. Come on. I said, he'll take off. He won't stick around. He won't stay. He's going to go find somebody that doesn't want to be responsible and spend his time working on them. You want to get the enemy off your back? Accept responsibility. Okay. Playtime is over. My name is Dan. And I am your friend, and I have one more thing to say to you tonight. The scripture said it this wise, I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You want a healthy physical being? Then have a healthy spiritual being. If you don't have a growth plan, talk to somebody. Get with your pastor. Get with somebody. Come up with a growth plan spiritually that's going to move you forward and advance you and elevate you to do all that God has called you to do. And this is what I believe. And Sister Marilyn, just slip over there real quick. That way they will know I'm finishing. This is my third close, right? If you're responsible, you need to notify yourself first. by your words and your actions. And when you become responsible, go tell your pastor. Go tell the leadership in your church. I accept responsibility. I'm going to be responsible for this, this, and this. You know what? They're looking for you to accept responsibility for certain things. They really are. They want you to support, but they want to support you. You have giftings, you have skills, you have talents, but you're sitting over here waiting for somebody to ask you. Responsibility says, I don't have to be asked. I'm going to let somebody know I'm here. Amen. Am I right, Pastor?
That's right. Amen.
And if I let you know I'm here, it's your choice whether you use me or not. That's okay. But in the meantime, I'm going to accept responsibility for the gifts and the talents and the skills God placed on me. Side note. I have a lot of different skills, and I'm not bragging about this. God has just gifted me with a lot of different skills. Vocally and musically and speaking and training. God has blessed me above my capabilities. If you knew me when I was a teenager, before I became responsible, I was the most shy, timid, non-assuming person you'd ever want to meet. I wanted to blend into the crowd. I didn't want anybody to see me. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just wanted to be over here. In fact, growing up in church, I always loved the music, and I loved the beat. I loved the rhythms. I loved the syncopation of the sounds and all those things. I loved music. But I was so shy that when I clapped my hands in church, I did it down here because I didn't want anybody to see me. When I accepted responsibility, God not only changed my life, He changed my perspective and my perceptions.
Amen.
And so today you would never know that I was shy and timid, would you? I don't know about you, but I'm happy about it. Be responsible. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm responsible. Turn to him real nice. Just right now. I'm going to be responsible. Some of you can't even say that. Accept responsibility to be responsible for you. Father, I thank you tonight for the opportunity we've had to share in your word. I thank you, Lord, for this people. I thank you, Lord, because you're speaking to us as people that you love and the people that you care about. I thank you, Lord, because as you're speaking to us and you care about us, you're opening our minds and our understanding and our thoughts to new ways and new ideas. Father, I pray that in the Clinton area, in this entire area, that there will be a heightened level of responsibility. That as the churches have came together as brethren, and you've commanded a blessing in that place, that in this place we'll accept responsibility for our part to change this community. Each one of us have a responsibility and have a part with the gifts, the talents, and the skills that you've placed in our hands. So we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Just bow your heads with me just for a moment. I don't want to miss the opportunity. Is there anyone under the sound of my voice that would be bold enough to accept responsibility and say, you know what, Pastor Dan, I've been irresponsible. I'm capable of more than I've embraced. I've been hurt. I've been offended. And so I just basically sat down. But I want to accept responsibility. And I want to change my approach to serving God. Would you just be brave enough now to raise your hand and say, pray for me. I want to be more responsible. Thank you. Hands going up all over this room. Hands going up all over this room. I want to be more responsible. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going up all over this room. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to be more responsible. And I want to accept responsibility for me. Father, right now, those hands that were raised, those hands that are still up in the air, I speak blessing and favor, and I pray that your thoughts and your ways, how to accept responsibility, how to develop their own personal spiritual growth plan, will move them to a place of realignment for their assignment. And that assignment is the Clinton area people. Change their way of thinking. Change their words. Change their actions. And so may this be the beginning of the next day of their life and their future of accepting responsibility for who they are and who you designed them to be. In Jesus' name.
Amen. That certainly challenges us, doesn't it? The truth does challenge us. God's word challenges us to be the best that we can be every day of our lives. You know, I challenge my church, First Christian Church, that the word Christian, the definition of that is Christ-like. And so if we're going to call ourselves Christians, do we live like Christ? So I hope you've enjoyed the message tonight. I hope you've enjoyed Dan. He'll be with us tomorrow too. You do not want to miss tomorrow morning's worship service. So please come tomorrow morning and there'll be just a terrific day for us. When's the last time that you can remember that Clinton had a Clinton-wide, a Clinton area, churches coming together, shouting for Jesus, revival? When's the last time we've done that? Can you remember the last time we've done it? It's been a long time, hasn't it? A long time. So don't miss out. Come and receive what God has for you tomorrow, just as you've received what He's had for you last night and tonight. I am grateful for what God has done for me. No one in my life, nobody in my life has ever done for me what Jesus has done for me. And I am so grateful, so grateful. Pastor Tom, would you dismiss us tonight?